Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I am so excited to have on my podcast, gentlemen from the Anything Is Possible Foundation. Need I say more? All right, gentlemen, welcome to Olympic and Bundy, where we do our podcast here, part of Fox 11 News. I'd like you to first introduce yourselves. I'll start with my longtime good friend, Clyde.
My name is Clyde Terry. I'm the founder of the Emerging Leaders Academy, and I'm also a board member with Anything Is Possible Foundation.
Okay, and you do know we need to do the Emerging Leaders podcast another time.
I'm down with that.
And talk about your amazing longtime works in the city of Los Angeles. And we should note your former career is?
I'm a retired sergeant from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department.
Okay, and you have been doing amazing work to empower emerging leaders from our community, young people.
Yes, it's been a real commitment to help transform the lives of people coming home from prison. So I got, after an incident happened in the job, that I not only served the people, the good people, but also the people who were coming home from prison. And, you know, at one point they were victims of something. And so it completely shifted my idea of policing and created a program about 10 years ago, and it's been running ever since. And we've helped about 3,700 gang members and ex-cons or new contributors change their lives around and see something in themselves that they never saw before.
Okay, please come back and let's do a podcast on emerging leaders.
Absolutely.
Okay, and now you find the time to serve on a board for the Anything Is Possible Foundation, and you brought two friends along.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Anything, I think it synergistically, we kind of found each other. Yeah. Like I was doing work and they were doing work in the community, and Jordan and I are, we're in a leadership program together, and he said, hey, would you be willing to help me get this thing up and running? I was like, absolutely.
All right. Let's meet Jordan.
Jordan.
Hi.
First and last name.
Jordan DeBear.
Okay, and what's your title with the foundation?
Co-founder.
How long ago?
About 4 years ago.
Okay.
And we've actually been in action now for about a year.
Okay, and the foundation does what?
We mentor the youth. We mentor...
Any youth? All youth?
We mentor at-risk youth and youth that are experiencing homelessness.
Okay, see, there's a reason you're on my podcast, Olympic and Bundy, because this is what we do. We talk about people making a difference in our community.
Yes.
Okay, and you have a partner here. Yes.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
My name is Matt Sneed. I'm the Director of Operations for the Anything Is Possible Foundation. And I think the best way to describe what I do is I'm the dot connector. I connect all the little dots. So currently, we build in-house curriculum. We deploy that with our volunteer mentors. And they work with youth experiencing homelessness all throughout Southern California. And then I also place our mentors in our program with various organizations and kind of work that magic with partnerships.
And we know from news reports that there's just such a crisis of homelessness in Los Angeles. And I think that this is going to speak to me because we've all read about it. We've driven by the homeless person. We've been approached, you know, to give money. We've seen the tents. But I actually ran into two young men that I saw on Facebook that I'd known, and I said, let's get together, come to this event with me. And one finally told me, I don't have anything to wear because we're homeless. And I'm like, what? So I now know somebody who's out there, and they work. They both have jobs. So I'm like, what's going on here? All right, so tell me about your foundation. Jordan, how does yours differ from what's already out there?
Can I add something?
Yeah, sure. Clyde, go ahead.
So Matt just shared with me that he's in process to – she has a great relationship with our department.
We're going to talk about this.
He's in processing to become a deputy sheriff. So this is – this commitment and this knowledge and this consciousness he's taken to law enforcement with them.
Well, I see why you two are friends then.
Yeah.
So. Wow. So where are you in the process?
I don't know if there's like a midway point. I'm at the midway point. I don't know. Nothing said and done, but I'm in the process. And, you know, that's what I've decided to do with my life. But, you know, we can talk about Matt here in a minute. But, you know, I'm going full tilt for full service. And what we're doing here with the organization and working with homeless youth and really trying to provide them and give them something of value, really law enforcement and working with the community from that aspect is just it's just another avenue. So why not, right?
I don't always think of law enforcement and homelessness in the same picture. So I'm curious to hear what you're all doing, Jordan.
Yeah, thank you. Again, thank you for having us.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
Yeah, what an opportunity.
Yes.
So our mission is to have the youth discover that anything is possible for themselves and their lives, and that they make the difference in the world, and they get to choose and create how their future goes.
So what's your background? How'd you get into this?
Well, I'm a father.
Okay.
I'm a soccer coach.
And
I've worked with kids my whole life, everything from the LAUSD to coaching in sports. And, you know, about 4 years ago, really, I had an epiphany. And, what am I here for? Why am I here on planet Earth? And it's to make a difference for the youth. And so all the training I've done where I met Clyde and the leadership training of Landmark, and I just got who I am for the world and what kind of difference I can make. And if not me, then who, right? So that's how it was born. And we're out to really shift the conversation of these kids to where that doesn't matter what their circumstance is, they get to have a say-so.
So when you say kids, what ages are we talking about?
K through 12.
Yeah, through 12.
I mean, yeah, minors who are, and we predominantly interact, and ages are all over the place, but it's really K through 12. It's elementary school, middle school, high school. I mentor a group right now at a domestic abuse shelter, and half my group is about 10 years old, doing phenomenal things, and we can have some great stories here in a minute about that, and the other half are teens. So I have a group literally that crosses all the age spectrums, and it's really interesting doing really engaging life skills curriculum with such a diverse age group, not even diversity within the group. But what we do works, and that's what we're doing, you know.
And I see also on your notes here that you work with School on Wheels.
Yes.
I was part of a group that helped build a computer lab for them on
Skid Row. Oh,
so
yeah.
I know them well.
What an incredible organization they are.
Yeah.
They have 3,000 kids that are experiencing homelessness that our mentors now have access to go out there and make a difference. And I think really what separates us from other organizations is the training of our mentors and what our mentors go through and the difference that they make when they show up with the kids, the listening that these kids get, right? They haven't been listened to like this, to where they get truly empowered and understand how great they are and what's possible for their lives. It's not just showing up there and, you know, playing a game of cards, right? That's fun and that might make a difference for a minute. But what our mentors are trained in is going there and actually giving them something that's going to make a difference for the rest of their lives.
How many mentors do you have?
Right now, we have about 20 mentors.
What's your goal?
Thousands.
Yeah. If we're going to touch LA, it's going to take a lot of people. And, you know, the great thing about our mentors is that they're not, and I don't mean this and it's against anyone else, just they're not do-getters. The people that show up and they do good because it makes them feel good for the moment, but then they disappear.
Yeah.
There's a commitment. There's a commitment for you to be a mentor with us. And in order for you to be a mentor, you've had to work through your own mess.
Are these paid mentors?
No.
Or volunteer mentors?
Volunteer.
And how often do they volunteer?
Minimum once a week.
Okay. So that is a commitment.
Mm-hmm. That commitment, volunteering in the actual on the court with the youth. And they also go through training once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where do they volunteer?
I'll take that question. Yeah, the answer is all over the place. We're spread between Oxnard out in Ventura County all the way out to San Bernardino County.
Are you in schools or?
Yeah, great question. So we actually started working this whole operation, working directly with schools with an after-school program, right? So just kind of I'll run you through what we have done and where we're at and where we're going. After-school is a wonderful environment. You have kids and you know almost for a fact that you will have them for about 9 months and they will be there. You have the same kids for an entire school year. Now just imagine with really powerful curriculum, really powerful mentors, what you can do with that. And so that's where we've come from. We come from after-school programs, doing what we do. And then we really started getting into and thinking internally, you know, where do we want to go? And where we have gone is really to literally some of the most at-risk youth experiencing homelessness. So case in point, right now, even though I'm one of the guys who writes the curriculum, you know, on a weekly basis and also networks our school, I'm an active mentor myself. I mean, it's super cathartic. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And even me, I have a group. The subgroups and I guess the kids that we mentor now, it's a very different logistical setup than in an after-school environment. So in an after-school environment, I get to show up each week. Most kids will show up. I know they're going to be there, right? Super safe.
Yeah.
What we do now, for case in point, with my circumstance working in a domestic, basically transitional housing, I have them for about 45 days, which I really got present to last week. So case in point, I show up, right? I'm there to mentor. We do a meet and greet. We get to know each other, and everything's great. We work on something once a week. I might come back for the next week, and I will not know if they go. In other words, there's no formal closure to the environment that we are in because the homelessness epidemic in Los Angeles County, because things are so darn expensive, is so pervasive. People can only stay in these temporary shelters 45 days, 60 days, at best 90 days. And I'm talking at best. Where I'm at, I'm about 45 days. So that means with a homeless kid, you know, again, that's experiencing homelessness. Okay, I don't want to label them as somebody who is, you know, always homeless. No, they're just experiencing not having a permanent bed. We have at max 5 weeks to do whatever we do. That in itself, I mean, it gives me anxiety because every week I'm like, are they going to be here? And that's tough. That's super tough. But that's what we're out to do. And kind of playing off what Clyde was saying about, you know, we're not really interested in do-gooders. We're not. I hate to be that brash about it, but we have an objective. And Jordan read our mission statement, and here's the thing. I don't know where he came up with it. Maybe he had a dream one night. Maybe I should ask him about where he came up with it. But we have it on our business card for a reason. We really live to make that mission statement live in action. And what the mission says, I mean, to me, have the youth discover that anything is possible for themselves and their life and that they make, in capital letters, the difference in the world. What that means to me, my job, when I'm out there as a mentor, these kids will know, as much time as I can spend with them, that the difference that is going to be made in the world comes from them. It doesn't come from me. Yeah. It doesn't come from some external force. If there is something they want to create, like a future for themselves with particulars, a career, changing their circumstance, our goal is to teach them we will walk with them as long as they want us, as we have them, as they need us. But they're the ones that make the own difference in their own life. Yeah. So that's something very particular that what this organization is founded on. And we have had wonderful partners, such as School on Wheels.
Which I should note, they work with kids who are homeless after school.
Correct.
They have a little school bus that can pick mm-hmm. them up. And now they have a location, too, at the – it's in the Valley. Goodwill? They're part of Goodwill?
Yeah. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, they're California statewide.
Southern California, and they encompass all the counties that we're in. And so we literally mentor their kids. They're one of our primary folks that we work with.
They're fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fully endorse them. So let me ask you, Jordan. So you had the idea 4 years ago. Where are you when it comes to building the foundation? Are you still launching? Have you fully launched? Are you midway? What do you think?
Well, I don't know if we'll ever be fully launched, right? But we're launching. And so at this point, everybody is volunteer. So the goal is to be able to scale this the way we want to scale it and make that difference. We're going to need funds, right? So we want to put some people on payroll and actually go to work on this so we can go out there and do it at a large scale.
So, Clyde, I got to ask you, because you having been a Los Angeles County Deputy Sheriff, founding your own nonprofit, Emerging Leaders, you could sit on any board, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
If people could just see you, they would know that you'd be in big demand in many ways.
Thank you.
Why this organization? Why this board?
You know, it's funny. Jordan came to me and said, hey, man, I have this idea. And he didn't even finish, and I said...
He cut me off at about 3 minutes in.
Oh, really?
Cut me off.
Said, that quick?
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah. it felt right. You know, it felt like the thing. And, you know, and I could see, like, one of the things with emerging leaders, one of the problems that I found is, like, we had guys coming home from prison who had been away from their kids for 13 years.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And now they're going to come home and they're trying to tell their kids what to do. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be dad, mm-hmm. or they're trying to be mom. And there was a disconnect.
I'm sure.
And so when Jordan started talking about what his vision was, it's like, oh, it makes complete sense, because I need someone to talk to the kids so we can bridge that gap between the parents and the kids. But then 4 years, it's grown exponentially. So the vision has gotten a lot bigger. And so, and then, you know, 4 years ago, we weren't talking about homelessness issues like we're talking about them now.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know that they didn't exist. They just weren't out in the forefront like they are now.
It's funny you bring that up, because I'm thinking in terms of today, what we know today, mm-hmm. what we're seeing today, the crisis we're seeing today in our community. And I guess I hadn't realized that you started before this was really at the forefront of our conversations. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, Jordan, how did that happen that you had this vision that we need to jump on this now, 4 years ago?
That's a great question. I don't know if I have an answer, really. It just came to me. You're asking me, how did I have the vision?
Yeah. Because today we're dealing with it front and center.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think the idea was there to make a difference, okay. right? Like, to make a profound difference with young people. And just I can't think of the word right now, but that need just happened to show up inside of what was created.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What I will say is, the first thought that I had, sorry, I didn't mean to scream in the mic. The first thought that I had.
Own it.
Was that the organization would be, the difference would be men mentoring kids that don't have fathers.
Is it just men?
It was.
Okay.
In the very beginning, right? 4 years ago. But then as I started sharing my ideas with people, they started saying, no, you know, women, men, all kids. And that's how it opened up into that. So at first it started with, you know, I'm a great father. I'm a great mentor. I'm a great coach. There's probably a lot of kids out there that don't have father figures. So that's how it started.
Here's my question, because, you know, Clyde, especially you and I, having been in Los Angeles for a long time, there are a lot of organizations out there, and people ask me, should I start my own organization? And I often say, why don't you just join one that's already established, because the paperwork's in place, you filed with the state, you got the fundraising base already out there. To launch your own foundation, how has that been for you?
It's been awesome and challenging.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, you know, the paperwork is the paperwork, right? You call up and you get the 501c and you do all that. But actually building the infrastructure and getting people that are committed and are their word and that show up. Remember, nobody's getting paid. Everybody has to pay bills, right? So they have full-time jobs and they're out there. So to do this on the side, quote unquote, it takes something to be committed to it and do it day in and day out. So it's been challenging, and it's been a lot of fun, because we have incredible people that are on board now. Matt being one of them. Clyde on the board. We have a director of the mentor programming. We have a director of funding. I mean, we have about 15 people in the internal structure part that are phenomenal human beings.
Believing in this mission, believing in what you all are specifically doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What did Kevin Costner said, build it and they will come. Mm-hmm. And it was it's just been a landing platform for people who are committed to something. There's a lot of people inside the organization where we do our leadership training who were looking for something. They just didn't know where to go. And so this is ready made for them.
But Clyde, there are a lot of organizations out there that people could jump on.
I think the kinship we all have, because what we do, and like Jordan, I know Jordan's going to be his word. If Jordan says he's going to do something, I know if we say we're going to do something, that's what we're going to do. And the conversation is not from a place of victimhood, right? Like, oh, this happened to me, so therefore, and if I'm a mentor and I'm a victim, I can't really do much for the kid that I'm trying to. I can do my best. I can be sincere. But sincerity is not going to help them through a circumstance. And our coaching is really in development with them, is to get them to get that they have circumstances. They're not their circumstance. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I met Wallace Annenberg, who is from the famous Annenberg family, among the leaders of Los Angeles when it comes to the wealthy donors who are making a huge financial difference in L.A. And I remember she said once, it's not necessarily the organization, it's the people that she looks to support. It's the people that are behind it. And so I know for you, Clyde, if whatever you're doing, I want to see what you're doing.
Right.
So if you're endorsing Jordan, then there must be something here.
It's on the street, it's thebomb.com.
Yeah. Okay. So Matt, how did you get into this fold?
Oh, luck. No, that's not true. No, Jordan and I were in the same landmark program together. And, you know, fast forward a couple years, we had a mutual friend reintroduce us to each other. And I had been a nonprofit for many years. I'm currently in education.
Let me just say this about Matt. Yeah. I'm going to interrupt you. Matt is an extraordinary human being.
I can tell by the way he speaks.
Oh, stop.
Well,
yes.
Beyond
I'm going to endorse that.
Who he is as a human is incredible. I mean, this guy has dedicated his whole life to making a difference for kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything from nonprofit to teaching. He's now teaching part-time at a jail. I mean, all he cares about is making a difference for other human beings. Mm-hmm. So when I asked him to come on as the director of operations, it was an honor and a privilege for me.
Yeah.
To be able to have him come on board. So I just wanted to create a context of who Matt is.
Yeah, but that talks about how dope you are too, because he's got some heavy hitters. He's
Oh, do tell.
Yeah, this guy is like, hey, I don't know. He took maybe 3 minutes, probably like, 2 minutes with you? Like, it didn't take long to say, hey, this is my vision, and people are like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Really?
Right? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Jordan had a vision, you know, and the vision was, hey, I want to inspire the youth, you know, and I want to, that's what I want to do. And I'm like, okay, well, I've been working with youth and after school and education for like 15 years, so maybe I can have a couple thoughts on that. And we talked, and last year we finished up a full year at a school site with over 100 kids, and we experimented with some really cutting edge curriculum that really pushes the envelope of what you can do with basically elementary kids. That's where we were, as an elementary site. And then from there, it's just about where can we go? And now that's why I don't even want to say we're on the fringes working with, but we're working with a very particular groups of kids, you know, like they're identified as this circumstance, as the homeless circumstance. And we do that through our partners, like School on Wheels. They work with folks, they work with these shelters. Okay, great. So now, logistically, we now know where to find the kids that we want to mentor, really some of the most at risk. Okay, we're highly trained mentors. And, you know, you asked a couple times, you know, what makes us different as an organization. So I've been in nonprofit my entire adult life. Either a volunteer and then professionally, and then I'm probably going to, you know, here I am again professionally, right? So I go in and out with various organizations, and that's just my jam. You know, I love nonprofit. What I can tell you what makes us incredibly unique is our mentor support. It's just something that's not a thing. You know, I've worked for a lot of after-school programs. I've worked for a lot of nonprofits. When it comes to the actual volunteer mentor, somebody who's not on payroll, just somebody who says, hey, I want to work with kids. I want to make a difference with them, right? No, it's really tough to coordinate that because everybody has their own schedules. We make it a requirement. So not only do our mentors mentor once a week with the kids and their groups, we have an hour training call every week, in addition to an all staff and all mentor call once a month. In addition to every quarter, we have a PD, professional development, for about a half day. We are heavily vested into our mentors, and it cuts both ways. It's not only for the kids. The kids get great mentors where they show up, they're present, they're ready to go. We don't have much time with you, right? I mentioned I have five weeks at best. So the training really brings out the best of me. But at the same time, what's really in it for our mentors get trained. And they have an amazing community of other fellow mentors that are like-minded that we circulate in. That in itself, mentor training, is ultra rare.
Is part of it for you, Matt, being part of something that is building, creating? It seems to me that compared to, like, say, a long-term established organization, you're really getting to put your stamp on things, to build something, to create something, to kind of be on the ground floor of something. Is that part of the story for you?
You know, I mean, I appreciate that. I think, one, I know Jordan, and I'm like, hey, you know, you have a good idea. And like Clyde said, Jordan's word is the gold standard. I mean, that's it. He says it, it's done. I always get to sleep well at night because when he says he's going to do something, it will get done. So number one, Jordan DeBeer's, you know, name and his personal word.
Great leader.
Yeah, there's nothing else like it. But also, I really do believe in the mission. And like Clyde, you don't sign on to everything. You know, I have a lot of experience with nonprofit and education. There's a 1,001 different causes out there, and there's nothing wrong with it. I just happen to like this particular way. And we've been, as an organization, very flexible to identifying the need. And like you said, you know, homeless families, I don't know. This is something, you know, that has always been around, but it has gotten so pervasive.
Yeah.
It's like, who, you know, we got to do something about it.
I got to think, though, too, your timing is just kind of, I want to say, impeccable, because we're at a place where so many are looking at this crisis thinking, maybe I have to get involved. Maybe I have to do something. I think people are wanting to solve the problem.
I
think one of the biggest things is there's a sense of resignation and cynicism throughout the country. Right. And one of the things that us as mentors and the mentors that are in our body, they can't bring that to the conversation. Like I said earlier, they have to work through whatever there is for them before they go deal with our young people. And when you're dealing with young people who are homeless, when you're dealing with young people who are coming from broken families, the average kid in the inner city has probably seen more than the average adult in the suburbs will ever see, you know. And even though maybe some of our mentors haven't experienced that because they're not from the hood, but they've been trained and developed that they're not taken over by the condition, and they can still deal powerfully with the kid and get the kid to see that the young person to see that it's a circumstance. They're not the death of a loved one. They're not the drive-by shooting that just happened. They're not the mom who has just been killed, right? Like, and it takes something, because you have to remove yourself from that in order to be there for another human being, right? You can't be there. And that's the type of human beings that are part of this. The men and women that are part of this are people who have been willing to deal with their own stuff before they go and touch the lives of someone else, because like Matt was saying, sometimes you got one shot, you know, and I know from emerging leaders, I'm like, man, if I can hold on to them for these 6 weeks and we can make a difference, this is my one shot. I may not get an advanced class for them. I may not get something else, but if I can get that one shot and put something there, they'll come back, or they'll see something for themselves. And for us, 45 days, you know, you may get a kid who's like on day 39 when he comes in on day one, right? Mm-hmm. And it, like,
if the mentor comes in on day one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the mentor comes in on day one because it's always moving. So,
always moving.
Yeah, so you don't get like a kid for 45 days. You start off and you got 45 days. They're like, they're all staggered.
You know, I'm thinking of a podcast I recently did on a great organization called First Star. And what they do is they groom kids in foster care to get through the high school process and apply for college. You know, the tests, the resumes, the right classes, the support. But they start with them as their freshman year in high school and stay with them all 4 years. You guys don't have that luxury.
No.
Jordan?
Well, you know, what
not,
I was going to...
Not yet.
Yeah. And what I was going to touch on, too, is the reason why the mentor development program is so important to us is that we refuse to sell out on the kids. Right, because the kids are used to people not showing up for them. They're used to people being late. They're used to people not being their word. And so we're just not going to sell out on them. So one of the, you know, the training of the mentors has us get who we are for those kids, right, at a whole different level.
Yeah, it means a whole lot when you don't show up.
It's there's statistics that show that it's more detrimental.
Sure.
When they don't show up.
Sure.
And it's ordinary.
Yeah.
Right? It's totally ordinary not to show up. Mm. And we're out to break that. So that's the type of training that our mentors get. And we take it very seriously.
Okay. So you have this short window with this population. What do you try to accomplish in what, like, is that like 2 months you have with them, give or take?
Yeah, well, we don't really know, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great question. So I would like to walk you through like some of the stuff that we actually do.
Please.
So I have a new group, about 10 kids, and half are teenagers, and the other half are about 10 years old, right? I have a 10-year-old that I just met last week. He just joined our group. So I think I have up to 45 days with him.
The kid, they join your group?
They come and go, yeah. Okay. So for instance, just to kind of, you know, paint a picture here at a setting, you walk into a shelter, and shelters look very different all the time. There are literally homeless shelters that we operate in, which are literally beds in a giant like gymnasium room. That's a temporary homeless shelter.
Or apartments.
Correct. There's also motels.
Yeah.
We also do those as well. Uh-huh. But where I'm at is a domestic abuse shelter. So just I guess think of like a smaller, you know,
like a home,
kind of like a college dorm. It's got a kitchen. It's got a main living room. And then you have little, you know, little places to sleep all around there. And there's a community room. So I'm in the community room, and in the community room, it kind of looks like a classroom. Right. You have stuff on the walls from kids, got a whiteboard, got a table, got things like lots of colors, got some toys and board games in there. But how it operates with any shelter, be it a domestic abuse shelter or a homeless shelter, like beds are so in demand in Los Angeles. There's not enough beds in Los Angeles County. So if I'm homeless right now, just to be very clear in this point in time, if I said, you know what, I'm homeless, I would like a bed tonight. I'd not like to sleep outside or in my car or wherever. Tough. There's a wait list. It's a whole process. Like, it's not an immediate, you know, problem solution. That is how backed up it is. But without going into that, how it looks for me is I go to my, you know, domestic abuse shelter, right? And I go to this great room. And there's, you know, I meet my kids, but those kids are already there. They're going to transition out. Well, who's going to come in? More kids. So it's this revolving door because of the beds. That's the environment I have to work with. So I might have a group, like, you know, a round table, and there's different ages around them. I might have a group where I've had 3 weeks of experience with one person. Might be somebody else's first week. Might be somebody else's second week. So it's interesting how we're actually staggering our curriculum, because we haven't even talked about what we actually do. Right. And we have to make it, we have to make it very flexible. It has to be basically elementary to high school age appropriate, where the language and the design of it we can work. And the other thing is it has to be engaging, and I can't overlap from something I did last week just because somebody got it last week, you know, or didn't get it last week. So in other words, we have to have basically a buffet of really well vetted out curriculum at hand all the time. And then just multiply that out, one mentor with that diversity, multiply that out however mentors we have. So every week our mentors are honestly working on something different. I might be working on entrepreneurship, which is, one of my favorites. Somebody else might be working on empathy and mindfulness. So an average day of a mentor, when you become a mentor, is you roll up and it's about an hour to an hour and a half, depending on your site. Sometimes it's one-on-one. Sometimes we do tutoring and we do the curriculum. Right now, because it's been summertime, we do traditionally just awesome curriculum, also known as enrichment, right? And it can be in a group setting. I have a group setting.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, if you weren't there, and Jordan, I'm going to let you take this one, if your group is Anything Is Possible Foundation, if you weren't there, what's happening at these shelters? Let's say if you weren't showing up, your team wasn't showing up.
Business as normal. There'd be no mentorship. There'd be no tutorship.
The families are just there at the shelter.
Yeah. So it's just standard business.
So you're occupying a moment of time for them.
Yes.
It might be, they might see you 1 or 2 weeks. They might see you several weeks. But it's a moment in time that could otherwise be idle time.
Correct. And you don't know, you know, as a youth and as a mentor, you don't know when that one thing is going to be said that shifts the way you see the world, right? For me, it was when I was 10 years old and one of my role models said to me, you know, I was 10 years old, I had my shirt off and I went in and I flexed in front of him, and he looked at me and said, you know, Jordan, you can be anything you want in life. Like, you can be anything you want. You can do anything you want.
And that stuck with you.
And that stuck with me. So you don't know when that moment is going to come, when you're going to, your context is going to be shifted, right? So yeah, it's about showing up and about being there, and as Clyde has said and as Matt has said, is not relating to them as their circumstance and listening to them greater than they know themselves to be.
So like the organization I was thinking of, First Star, that does the whole 4 years with them, you're thinking that if you just can get a kid with one line, one moment, one meeting, you're able to make a difference, Clyde?
Well, yeah, Clyde.
I was just going to say, and I'll let you go. You just don't know when that time is going to come, right? So you're always prepared.
Okay.
And that's why we have the curriculum, and that's why we train our mentors, and we have them show up, and because they just show up as that space where it's a safe space, and these youth are vulnerable, and they share, and we listen to them. And it really is listening to them greater than they know themselves to be. And if you've ever been listened to like that, it's a very special space, very special.
I think a lot of times, you know, in the environments they're in, parents, I don't think they mean to do harm. But
life is tough.
Yeah, but they do. Like, they go, you know, shut up, or you're just like your daddy, or you're just like your mother, or you're not going to be, you know, whatever. And you get beat down like that day in and day out by the environment.
Sure.
And, you know, you got the kids, oh, you're stupid, or you got on da-da-da-da, and, you know, and whatever happens in the community. And then here comes someone who says you can be anything, right? Someone says...
A bright light.
And it's that one thing. And sometimes that's... If I can hold on to that one word, I'll hold on to it for life.
Okay.
You know? And so... That's what our mentors get to be. That's what this whole organization is about, is that I could say that one thing and, like Jordan said, like alter a person's life forever, because they're listening to you. They want to, you know, and when we first started this, we were dealing with some of the issues, and said, well, you got to get that some of these kids, they want help, but they don't trust you because they don't want to be disappointed. They don't want you to tell them you're coming and you don't. They don't want you to love them one day and tomorrow be mad at them, right? And so they're going to push you. They're going to push you to the limit. Right. And so that they can say, see, you're like everybody else, right? And that's why our mentors have been so trained to deal with that so that they don't get caught up in the circumstance.
You got to have a thick skin to be a mentor.
Yeah, because you know, and I can understand that. You're like, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be disappointed. So I'm going to see what you're made of.
Yeah.
I'm going to see what you're made of.
Oh, yeah. Matt, I work with kids in foster care. Yeah. I know being tested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's like that. It's like, I know that I'm going to be tested, and I'm a human being.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I get to recreate who I am so I could be something for them.
Okay, so the organization is Anything Is Possible Foundation. Mm-hmm. Is that your website? Is it .com or .org?
.org.
Okay, so I'm going to have each of my guests, we're going to start right here with Matt, talk about the difference you want to make for kids who are homeless. Matt, go.
I need them to know that they are the solution in their own life, that they are the difference in their own life, and I need them to believe in themselves. That is what I'm out to create with them.
Okay, Clyde.
My goal is to have them see a future that they couldn't see before, that this is a future I can live into, that I am a leader. I am someone who's going to make a difference. If I don't like the conditions that exist now, it all starts with me, and I don't have to wait to be an adult to do that.
Okay, and our founder of Anything Is Possible Foundation, Jordan.
To have them get that they are not their circumstance and that they actually have a say-so in how their life goes, and they get how great they are and that they make the difference.
Okay, so come back to me, Lexi. So this, okay, make sure you find them on Instagram. All right, so if people want to volunteer, they're thinking, hey, I like what these guys are saying. How do I get involved with your organization? Jordan?
Email us, info@anythingispossiblefoundation.org.
Okay, and what kind of work do I have to do if I want to mentor?
Well, you have to go through the training.
And how long is that? Give or take.
Before they start mentoring, I'd say a solid month.
Okay, and then the requirement, you're asking them to give back how much time?
They're going to have to give back, time-wise, I'd say 3 hours a week.
3 hours a week. Okay, and how long is the commitment you're asking? Months, weeks?
Oh, yeah. It's a year.
It's a year commitment. It's a school year, yeah.
Yes.
And what's really important about that, like everybody has mentioned here, consistency is king.
There
are so many studies out there that say, you know, if you're going to not be there often, you are basically being inconsistent, like kids have already had in their lives. Mm-hmm. So you know, our mentors literally will show up every single week throughout the school year while this is going on, and that's required.
And that same rigor is brought to the actual training as well.
Yeah.
Because that's how we approach the training. Look, if you're not going to show up, if you're going to be 10 minutes late for a phone call for training, how can we trust that you're going to be on time for the youth?
Oh my, I'm notoriously 10 minutes late, as you noticed, because you were waiting in the lobby about 10 minutes, as you know.
No, we kind of hooked you up, though, because I told him you wouldn't be down until like 7.
Yeah, we thought 7:30, so yeah, you were actually early.
Okay.
I was just letting you know we were here. Yeah.
Well, you know what, Clyde, you said in your email you're coming at 7. I'm like, no, I said 7:15, so I had a feeling you were going to be here early. Okay, so as we're kind of bringing this to kind of a close here, so I'm wondering if you could share a story, Jordan, about somebody or general, if you don't want to name names, that something that has moved you about mentors. Somebody came to you and said, I want to be part of this. What has moved you that others are willing to join this force?
Wow, that's a great question.
Or like, how have you seen that this is working? What tells you this is working?
Well, I actually like to pass it off to Matt, because he has a great story about a 10-year-old he just worked with last week that is incredibly moving and inspiring.
Matt?
Yeah. This is what we deal with on a weekly basis. So I have a group, a couple new people in there, right? I have a 10-year-old, a new 10-year-old, and a new 16-year-old. And so, you know, we do a little meet and greet introductions, and it's very structured, like, what's your name? What do you do? What do you like to do outside of school? What is your age? And we get to know each other. And then there's other very specific Anything Is Possible Foundation questions that we ask, like, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? But what we also ask is, who do you want to be? And it's interesting where that leads. But my 10-year-old was like, hey, I have 51,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. And I'm like, dude, no way.
Wow.
I'm like, you know, you're pulling my leg. And he's like, no. And he's this cracked little phone. And again, he's 10 years old. Okay?
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like.
And he's experiencing homelessness.
Right. Okay. And again, he's in a domestic abuse shelter, right, with our group. Mm-hmm. And he's telling me all about his channel. And, you know, I have my original degree when I went to college was filmmaking. So I know a little bit
you're
about.
Like, wait a minute.
I know a little bit about filmmaking. I have a 10-year-old walk me through and have a conversation about merch. And he's like, so I can't get a paycheck from YouTube because I don't have a permanent address. Again, he's in a temporary housing situation. And he's telling me, I want to sell merch. And I'm like, merchandise, right? I'm trying to bring the group up to speed of, you know, slang here. And he's like, yeah, I'm trying to sell merch and make some money off of that. And my business plan is this, this, and this. And I literally had to stop. And I'm like, and I look around, I'm like, you know, guys, we're having like a college level, you know, econ class as well as modern day business and monetization practices. And this 10-year-old's leading me in this. I'm not leading this conversation. And he shows me what he does, and I'm like, dude, like, because he does this thing on, I think it's called Steam, where you buy these little characters and you can animate them, but you also can move the camera around. So in other words, you don't have real people, but you can, you know, manipulate the animation in the way that you want to, you know, and you can also.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right, and you can also move the camera. So you can make like little movie trailers and make little shorts based off of like little characters that you can buy in an app. And then you move the camera around. That's what he does. And he has like 51,000 subscribers, but he's a 10-year-old and he has an eye. You know, I went to school for this. I've spent thousands of hours behind the camera.
So he's a neat kid.
He's a neat kid. And then I have a 16-year-old who is 16 years old, is holding down a part-time job while he's going to college. And I say, what do you do? He says, I'm a janitor. And there was like no shame in that. And I remember when I was 16, I didn't want to pick up after other people. Yeah. He was like, had no shame in it. And we talk and I say, listen, guys, we have now. I don't know if we're all going to be here next week. Like, I'll be here next week, but I don't know where you're going to be. So here's the 20 skills that we teach currently. What do you want to, you know, learn? My 16-year-old goes, you know, he raises his hand, he says, public speaking. I really want to learn public speaking. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. My filmmaker 10-year-old, storytelling.
Yeah.
So this is why we show up every week, is because not only are they kids, they're just kids up to big stuff. And and they're open to share in this safe environment. So
what an opportunity.
Yeah, that's what we do. And really, I cannot wait. Like you know, Clyde said, I think, why he does it. I think he really said it wonderfully. We need them to understand they're not their circumstances.
Yeah.
Disassociate that. And to prove that anything is possible, our job is to provide you those skills, and we will walk with you as far as you need or
want. Matt, that was just such a beautiful picture as to what really we get out of it when we are stepping up to give back and be of service to others. It's really that feeling that you walk away, you know, feeling you
fulfilled.
Touched and moved and excited about the youth. And Clyde, I'm going to give it to you because I was thinking, wow, so you're so different from that other organization I talked about that is 4 years. But you're right, that one moment. And I do the Wednesday's Child segment with kids in foster care in need of adoptive homes.
I've cried many a time watching that.
Well, I see the kids once, literally for an hour and a half. Well, now after 25 years, they're finding me on social media. And I've had a few reach out on Instagram. Mm. I'm going to see one for the first time this coming weekend. And she had a clip of her video from back in like 1994. And she saved it and she sent it to me. And she says, I remembered you gave me a hug. And I'm like, she's a grown woman. And that stood out to her. And so I think it's moments like that that you forget that a moment can touch someone that they have reached out to you, you know, 20 years later.
You know, what we say is we know that we're making a difference, but we don't know the difference we're making. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll never know. Really?
With social media, you might know.
No, but I mean, over there, like how they experience their life behind closed doors every day. We know that as mentors, we make a difference, but we don't know the difference we're making moment by moment in their lives. Yeah. What stays with them? We just will never know that. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty in it. And that's why we show up.
I used to tell deputies when I as a supervisor, say, do you want to be the deputy that slams someone on the car and says, you're going to be just like your father? And the kid goes to jail, or you say, I'm going to be chasing you like your dad and taking you to jail. Do you want to be that deputy that the kid comes back later and says, hey, deputy, remember 10 years ago you told me I'd be that guy? Well, I'm not. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you for telling me that I would never be anything because I became something. Or do you want to be the deputy that says, hey, man, you're better than this? You could be anything you want. Mm-hmm. And have that kid come back to you and say, man, it was because of you. Because I was at my end, and it was because of you, it made a difference, and I held on to that. And now I'm a Hall of Famer now, or I'm a great dad now, or I went on to have a business, or I'm a great mom, because you said that. And you're the only person in my life that said something that someone believed in me and told me that I could be more than everything that I'd been told.
How long were you a deputy?
25 years.
Really?
Yeah.
You put in that much time?
That much time.
Okay, you're allowed to step down then. Okay, fine, because I'm really mad at that you left the sheriff's department. Are you finding more fulfillment or a different kind of fulfillment doing this?
I thought that I could, when I went into law enforcement, I think, you know, some training and development that I had that I didn't really pick my profession, my identity, pick my profession. You know, being a kid that had gone through some things, and I said I would be a protector, and so my job just kind of guided me. I mean, my identity guided me to that job. But I think now, because there's no – one of the things I used to do in the sheriff's department is I would go do stuff and then come back and go, hey, I did this. Because sometimes when you ask – when you come up with a novel idea like this, hey, I want to create this foundation and I want to do this, and I think we can have this impact on the kids and really bring the community together, people are like, oh, no, we need to run it past a million people. Mm-hmm. And by that time, the energy of it is dead. It's gone, mm-hmm. right? So for me, I would just do stuff and go, oh, by the way, we did this. And they go, oh, great, right? So now I don't have to work around those restrictions.
Gotcha.
I can just go be creative and see a problem and grab a group of people like Jordan did and say, hey, man, let's go tackle this problem.
So Jordan, let me ask you, you've been working on this for 4 years.
Yes.
When did you see that this is actually, wow, this is actually something here? We're actually doing this.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
That's when it started. And I started getting yeses from so many people and some powerful people started joining. And it started to move, and then Matt joined, and it just went to another level really quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so about a year and a half ago.
Okay, and what do you get out of this? Because you don't have to do this. Your father, you were coaching soccer. You could live your life.
I still am coaching soccer.
Yeah,
I still am a father. Yeah, I'm pure fulfillment. That's it.
Who do you look up to?
Wow, that's a great question.
I mean, are there people that you admire in the society?
I admire other people that are making a difference. You know, I admire Clyde, I admire Matt, I admire everybody in the organization, my parents, God. Yeah.
Are we able to solve this homelessness crisis in Los Angeles, America?
Not in my lifetime.
Really?
Not in my lifetime, but I believe that after our lifetime we will. Yeah. Not in my lifetime, though.
That's interesting, Jordan. I have other plans.
One of my other mentors told me, she said, because it said, you know, it's just me. It's we have 10,000 people living in Los Angeles County, and you know, I'm doing this 15, 20 people at a time. And she said, Clyde, she said, every time I go out to do something, it's like me spitting in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And she says, every time I spit, I don't expect there to be a tidal wave. She said, so me spitting is not going to raise the ocean, the level of the ocean, but that doesn't stop me from spitting.
Okay.
Right. And so, you know, that's the thing. It's like, okay, well, you know, it's like Martin Luther King. If you look at Martin Luther King, his commitment was to bring civil rights and racism. And he's dead, but the dream lives on. Right. And so and it's not a political thing. But, you know, because of him, 40 something years later, we have a Barack Obama. Because of him, you know, we have equality because I mean. And so I think as in Jordan's saying and Matt saying is that we're setting something out there and we may not be the people who fulfill it. But we'll set the foundation for other people to come and they'll have a bigger vision and they'll have more ideas and they'll complete it. But it only gets that because we spit.
So let's wrap this up in case somebody's listening to this and they think, well, I've not heard of the Anything Is Possible Foundation based in Southern California. Now I know about it. I may or may not be able to join the team to actually become a mentor, but I'm moved by what you had to say. Give me a nugget of something that they can take away, a message, something you teach, something that you would pass on, even maybe one of your kids. And Matt, I'll start with you. Give me a nugget for somebody who's listening thinking, I like what they're saying.
Anybody can be a mentor. If you think you're going to be a terrible mentor, you're probably completely wrong. So if you join us, we have phenomenal weekly training. I actually don't even know where to get that with anybody else. And you go in the field with literally kids that are amazing and a worthy cause. But anybody can be a mentor. You know, give us a jingle or email us or however you get in touch with us. We will train you. You will be a great mentor. And you will make a difference. You might not know it right away, but you will. And that is a promise.
Anything Is Possible Foundation. Make sure you add the foundation. Okay. Clyde, give me something, a nugget of motivation.
Well, I would say for people that, you know, when we do something, it doesn't have to be extraordinary. It doesn't have to blow the socks off of people. If you're walking down the street and there's trash on the ground, pick it up and throw in the trash can. You know, make a difference wherever you can, you know. Give someone a smile, right? It's just simple things. It doesn't have to be something huge. It's just, you know, pat somebody on the back. Or, you know, what's really amazing to me is like I see homeless people and you smile at them and they light up. It's like, oh. And you see them almost come out of like almost jump out of their clothes because it's somebody recognized me. Because so often, even when I go to the store and I buy something from somebody, if they have a name tag on, I'll call them by their name. Mm-hmm. Now, I may not get the service, but the person behind me will. Because all day they've been a transaction. And the homeless person, someone's walked by them all day and never acknowledged them because there's just someone sitting there. So something that simple. It doesn't have to be create a foundation. It doesn't have to be go out there, stump the streets. Just be kind to your fellow man.
Well, you know, I, being a news anchor in Los Angeles, I've had this beautiful platform with a microphone and a camera and a TV station and backing and the Wednesday's Child program. And people have said to me, oh, you've done so much. And I say, you don't have to save the world. Just one nice thing to one person.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all you got to do. And you don't have to, you know, do or have the tools that maybe Fox 11 has given me. You can help your neighbor. The person right next door. Okay, so Jordan, give me a nugget. You're going to wrap it up here.
Okay, great. So what I would say is really look at what you're committed to in your life. And then once you discover that, don't go by your wants and your feelings, right? go by what you're, look at what you're committed to, because the wants and the feelings will get in the way, right? Every day I don't feel like being the founder of an organization. I don't feel like mentoring. I don't want to coach soccer. And this is what I'm committed to. So really get present to what you're committed to and then be your word about it and go do it. And it doesn't matter what that is. Just be present to what you're committed to and stay over there. That's what I would say.
All right. Thank you so much, the gentleman from Anything Is Possible Foundation. And your logo, is that a tree?
It's like a little child that's like a dandelion.
Oh, I
blowing
love that.
A dandelion.
It's white and green, right?
Well, yeah, it's a circle. A sage green and a little circle white.
And you really do on Instagram have the whole thing as your name.
It so takes it.
Anything Is Possible Foundation.
That's right, yeah.
Wow. Okay, thanks, guys. I'd like to thank the person who gave me my music, a young artist here in Southern California, DJ Reaper. So cue the music and wrap it up.